Good evening and welcome to El Oso Fumar Takes. This is our 92nd take live from Euless, Texas. I'm your host, Barry Duplessis, as always, and I'm so proud, so pleased, and so privileged to be returning to you. It's been a couple weeks since we've had a take, and I'm so excited to be welcoming our guest here, who I'll introduce in just a few moments. He's sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying his Sunday evening, watching some baseball, like you should all be doing. But in the meantime, we definitely want to thank all the people out there that make this show possible and make great guests like we have tonight possible as well. And with this show, tonight's show is sponsored by Drew Estate. Drew Estate earlier this week launched the national release of Underground Shady XX to Drew Diplomat retailers starting this week. The limited edition cigar was created in partnership with Shady Records president Paul Rosenberg to celebrate their 20th anniversary. First released to only 10 Detroit area retailers in 2014, the Underground Shady remains one of the most consumer-demanded limited editions in the Drew Estate portfolio. The powerhouse blend, similar to the Underground Corona Viva, features a toothy Mexican San Andreas wrapper, spicy Connecticut stock cut Habano binder, and showcases the highest quality plantation filler leaves from Nicaragua and Brazil. The Shady XX is a 5x50 box press bellicoso. The aged limited edition cult classic truly packs a punch while remaining smooth and elegant the entire smoke. Paul Rosenberg, Eminem's longtime manager and Shady Records president, adds, "Getting this cigar out to stores feels a lot like releasing a great album that we've created and subsequently marketed in some ways. For instance, the most satisfying and exciting part of the process is getting the public's reaction to the product once it drops." So check out the Drew Diplomat retailer for that latest release from Drew Estate. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we really appreciate everybody that's tuning in. But if you're catching us later, wherever you listen in podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Podbeam, or wherever you listen to podcasts, you're listening to us exclusively because of Cornelius Nanti Premium Cigars. Cornelius Nanti Premium Cigars is steeped in tobacco tradition. For over 150 years, the Bailey family has been part of America's tobacco heritage, passionately caring for the land they cultivate in Keysville, Virginia. Cornelius and Anthony's devotion to the finest grown tobacco and foremost aspects of craftsmanship allows them to introduce the most exquisite cigars to the market. They invite you to enjoy their portfolio of premium hand-rolled cigars and experience their dedication to producing an exceptional product. So excited to have you all in tonight, and I am so pleased to welcome our guest this evening. So without further ado, from La Familia Robina, Mr. Spencer Drake makes his return. Spence, how are you doing tonight?
So far, so good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. Well, I as you noted before we got started this evening, and as you are donning one as well, I show respect to my guests and would like to don the hat of the World Series champions from this year. I'm calling it now. So I've
Don't jinx us. It's going to be tough. Yeah, the Dodgers are really good, and hopefully the Nationals beat the Dodgers. But Dodgers are really good, and the Yanks are real good. So.
Well, I mean, if the Twins come back and take care of the Yanks, I mean, it's pretty much smooth sailing, right? I mean, at that point.
The Twins haven't looked very good so far, though.
Hey, man. I am a Red Sox fan. I know how to come down from 0-4, man. Never say die.
That's such a good 30 for 30, by the way. I forgot what it was. What is it? 4 days in November, or I mean, yes. In October, whatever. What a great documentary.
It's beautiful, man. They're, you know, everyone talk, and don't get me wrong, the Big Poppy moments are legendary and of lore, but nothing still gets me like when I see Dave Robert Steele is quintessential, and
it's pretty darn close. It's awesome.
It's yeah. And my sister, who I always say that she has to be adopted. I don't know how this happened, but she's a Yankee fan, and she always says that he was out. I was like, "You've got to be kidding me!"
No, like, you're safe.
You would say that, but it's one of the best moments I remember. But never say never. And here's to the 2019 World Series champions, Houston Astros.
I don't even want to cheers to that. I feel dirty. I'm too superstitious, but nonetheless, it'd be great. Two out of 3 years is pretty hard to achieve.
Well, you certainly got the team for it. You certainly got the horses for it, and I know that Aaron Loomis and I are rooting for you because we pretty much we called it. Even though I had my Red Sox going to the playoffs, which I was wrong on, I did have the Astros actually winning the series. So,
gotcha.
But it's a really, really awesome honor to have you back, Spence. I know that it's been a lot has actually happened since the last time we had you on the show. A lot has actually changed, but not too much has changed. Even though there have been a lot of changes, not too much has changed. But before we get into all that, I wanted to talk to you about this latest project that you guys released at IPCPR, now PCA Trade Show, the Illegal. So what is, so first of all, I got to ask, what inspired the Illegal project to be born out of La Familia Urbana?
It was just kind of a play on the fact that, you know, we are the kind of one company in the industry that is still, tied to Cuba. You know, Hirochi still operates the farm that the Robinas have been, growing tobacco on since 1845. So he's still there. He's still present in Cuba. And, so it was just kind of a play on that. And it's something that we played around with some different tobaccos than we had used previously in any of the HR blends and decided not to disclose it. So it's just kind of goofy more than anything else. And there was some projects that, because there's three different individual blends and then three sizes of each. We did a Connecticut, a Habano, an Ecuadorian Habano, Ecuadorian Connecticut, and Mexican San Andres. And we didn't really include Hirochi on. We've included him towards the end. We started to include him because he got really kind of intrigued about everything we were doing. And so he gave us some advice at the tail end of it, really. But we had our rep from the Northeast and Florida by kind of dumb luck blended one of the Habano that we're releasing. We already had one that we had been working on for a long time, and he his father's Manuel Peralta, so his name's Adrian Acosta, and so he's somebody that me and him always talk tobacco, and I'm always interested to hear his opinions on things. And I was going down to Nicaragua to finalize the Habano blend and the San Andres blend that we worked on with Esteban Disla from Mica Sueño, and on the way down there, I asked Adrian, I said, hey, is there anything you want me to put together? So he gave me one specific blend that was really, really detailed in terms of the filler leaves and the primings and everything, not just a vague blend, but a very, very specific blend. Pick on it that went in. And so I gave that blend to Omar as soon as I got to Nicaragua. Or to Esteli, traveling with a friend that's got a shop up in the Northeast named Costa Fodiatis. He's got a shop called Smoke Manioc. Anyway, I handed that to Omar, and then 2 days later, we were sitting in there finalizing the blend. Esteban Disla was over from Nica Sueño, and we're all smoking the San Andres, and Omar comes in just really, really excited about the cigar he was smoking, and I was...
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, but he does it like sometimes he'll come in with an HR signature and like the Hermoso and say he'll get all excited about how well it's smoking at that particular time. So I kind of had seen his
This is Bear Duplessis live with take 92 of El Oso Fumar Takes. Looks like I just lost my guest. We'll be trying to get him back shortly. But he was talking about the latest project from La Familia Urbana, the Illegal project. And so what it looks like with the Habano and the San Andres, and so three options from the Illegal that actually came out to market, which was really interesting, is that he actually had a real nice collaborative effort come in from even Esteban Disla of Nica Sueño come into the fold, who, you know, hasn't necessarily worked with him on other projects. So this is really actually really exciting. So as Spencer kind of gets back here inside our show here, get these technical difficulties rolled out. Spencer, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Sorry about that. I think I've got some spotty internet or something. I'm not really sure what's going on.
No problem at all. How's that? Is the video icon still available for you to select?
It says stop video, actually.
Let's see if we can get that back on for you.
Do you want me to hit stop and then try to re-engage?
Yeah, there you go. Something? There you go.
Okay, start my video.
Here there you go. So I thought that was really interesting what you were talking about, Spence, before you dropped off there. You were talking about how there it wasn't just you. It just, in fact, Hiroshi didn't even come until the very, you know, kind of in, until the very end. But there were a lot of hands in this pot that kind of created the project illegal. Finish up your words.
Yeah, that really wasn't by design so much. Like I said, we had two of the three blends, or one blend, the Connecticut, we knocked out of the park, I feel, really early, and we were all very happy with that cigar. The San Andres, in the first probably 10 different blends that I really kind of spearheaded with that cigar, I wasn't at all happy with any of them. It didn't matter what tobaccos I was using and the strength of the tobaccos or anything. I just couldn't get a good balanced product that I was excited about. San Andres for me was something I had never played with before and didn't have a whole hell of a lot of success when I tried. So who better to go talk to than Esteban Disla? And I like the Neanderthal a whole hell of a lot. That's one of my favorite cigars that those guys do over there. And we had gotten the San Andres to work on the blend from him. And so I just went over just as a friend and asked him for a favor and brought the where we were. I brought him two or three cigars of what we had with the last blend. And then he just started kind of putting his input on it and fixed it incredibly fast to a cigar I think we're super proud of and we hope the market really enjoys. But back real quick to Adrian, because that's I think where I got cut off. Adrian had given me that blend and Omar was super excited about it, and like I said, he's been excited about, you know, he'll smoke something we've had in the market for 5 years and get all giddy about how good it's smoking. So I didn't really expect that it was something new. And he doesn't speak any damn English, and my Spanish is terrible. I'm
but you speak cigar. You both speak cigar. That's the important.
Yeah, sí, entiendo. So anyway, he came out with that cigar, and I was like, "What are you smoking?" And he's like, "Puro de Adrian, Puro de Adrian." He was like really, really excited and giddy about it. So we all smoked it, Esteban and Costa and myself, and all of us were like, you know, pardon my French, holy shit, this is really, really good. And first time I've ever been involved with something that that never took a tweak, not a single tweak. His blend that he gave us, and we happen to have all the tobacco in it, it didn't take a single tweak. I've never had anything like that before. I'm super excited about that cigar. I'm excited about all three of them. But the Habano is just something that I can smoke every single day, all day. As it stands right now, I can smoke that cigar every day, and I haven't gotten tired of it yet. So I'm really excited. Nice medium kind of bodied Cuban style, hits every bit of your palate. It's just a fun cigar to smoke. Keeps me excited. So
that's really awesome. You know, you talked about the San Andres just not hitting what it needed to. You've gone through several renditions of the project and everything. It, you know, as someone who spent time around tobacco blending and blended some cigars yourself and everything, have you found San Andres to be difficult to work with, or it was just this project specifically that kind of painted a challenge for you?
Yeah, I've never used it before. I've never really been around it in terms of blending. We use a lot of Ecuadorian wrapper, and so that's what I've kind of been used. And then you know, I've used some Cameroon in the past, long, long time ago when I first started playing with stuff. But really, honestly, for the most part, it's been Ecuadorian Habano, Ecuadorian Connecticut, and then some Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro stuff. And that's really the limits of what I had done prior to this project. And you know, as time's gone on, I've been more and more involved in that process. But, you know, I'm going to get, you know, this was really kind of stepping out for me, and wanting to put something in the market that I felt like my fingerprints were all over. So from a design standpoint, you know, and packaging, and as well as the the blends. The only thing that I would really say, just to be completely honest with all your viewers, that I didn't really put my fingerprint all over yet, is just the sizes in that line. We really wanted something to present to retailers that was going to be super easy for them. You know, Robusto, Toro, and 60 always pretty easy, pretty simple.
Yeah, I was gonna say those are the sizes, right? Those are the sizes.
Yeah, but I smoke Corona Gordas, and I smoke Coronas, and I smoke Lanceros, and so we're gonna do some line extensions in the future, and maybe some exclusives with retailers, because that's one of the things that we've really started doing with the retailers that have helped support us to this point, is the exclusives and stuff like that. So we'll definitely do some of that. We've already had people reach out about Ilegal specifically, just with the test or the samples we put in the market have been really, really well received, and already had a couple of different retailers say, hey, I want an exclusive size. Let's do something. So we'll
so it is pronounced Ilegal, not illegal.
Ilegal, yeah. There's Ilegal. Yeah, Skip Martin was pretty hilarious with that. Everybody's like, where's the other L? Because, you know, in Spanish spelling of illegal is ilegal, and it's got one L versus two. And I think Skip's quote was, their competition took the L. It was pretty awesome. it was cheesy and corny, but it was awesome.
Skip's always got the one-liners handy, man. Always.
That one was good.
That was good. So before we move on to the next question, which I think is pretty pertinent, but you rarely see people coming out when they launch a line. It used to be kind of standard, you know, that kind of, you know, natural and Maduro, or that natural and medium body, like a sun grown and Maduro, you know, you used to see that used to be like the industry norm, but it's kind of gone away from that. You're bringing that kind of back with this project. I think that's really fascinating. And was that originally the intent as well, or was it something that just kind of developed with the way all these kind of hands started getting involved?
No, it was absolutely from the beginning gonna be a Connecticut, a Habano, and a Maduro, a sun-grown Habano and a Maduro. Hadn't finalized at that point what the Maduro was gonna be. I really was intrigued by San Andres. And have been for some time. The other thing that we started playing with, but we had already kind of headed down the San Andres road, was Modafina, because I'm a big, big fan of Modafina as well, just as a consumer. There's certain cigars, that 724 Dog Walker with the Modafina on it. I can smoke those things like I can chain smoke them. I like them so much. Because you just taste that wrapper leaf so much in that blend, and it's just such a good example of Modafina to me. And then the stuff the Wonderlust and all that Skip does with that same leaf's incredible too. So I was really already leaning San Andres, just because there's some really good San Andres product in the market down there in Esteli. So it was something I wanted to play with, and I knew it would be somewhat challenging, because it's a leaf that I find projects with it that I really like and stuff that I really, really don't like. So I feel like it can be a very overpowering tobacco if it's not handled right and blended right. And that's ultimately what I ran into. I didn't like anything we were doing with it until Esteban stepped in and said, hey, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and honestly, two leaves, which is significant, you know, and mm-hmm. a five filler leaf blend, you know, it's 40% of it's changed. So see how I did the math in my head? It's incredible. It's like Rain Man. but it dramatically changed the blend to a point that Costa smoked that one with me as well when we were down there, and we both were just like, okay, this is it. We got it. It was really exciting to have just to see Esteban step in and figure it out rather quickly, what needed to change and what needed to be added to tobaccos I had never really played with before. So
Esteban certainly has put together some really hot stuff for the items that are coming out of Nica Sueño, and to have him involved in the project along with your partner Hiroshi Rubina, that's like a dream come true, right?
For sure, man. I mean, I'm first and foremost, I'm a cigar smoker, you know, from the old days when Skip was kind of teaching me about tobacco as my retailer. And so I've tried to surround myself with people that I could learn from. And I was blessed to be able to partner up with Hirochi and Omar Gonzalez and his son Luis Omar and a lot of really knowledgeable people. The Robinas and the Gonzalez's are two incredible families to learn from. And then through Skip, was introduced to Esteban really early and always just always loved that dude and loved the stuff that they were making. So it was somebody else that, as much as we can communicate, you know, generally our communication is about our families and how everybody's doing and about tobacco. And that's, so I was really happy that he was even willing to help us out on it. You know, I didn't, not doing it to leverage his name or everything that they're accomplishing over there right now. I've always been a biggest fan of them and never really tried to piggyback on any of that, you know? But I appreciate him being a part of it and helping us out. Cause like, you know, when he said he would help me, it was, you know, he just, as a friend, you know, he just wanted to help us out and wants to see us have something that's really successful. And I think he's helped us do that. I'm excited to see what it does in the market.
That's wonderful. The, you know, you talk about the families involved here in the Robinas specifically, that such a prominent name in the history of tobacco, in the history of premium cigars. You know, recently it's been out for a while. You know, it actually premiered at last year's IPCPR trade show. But the documentary Hand Rolled, has kind of made its way onto more mainstream platforms for the mass to actually access. So it's available on Amazon Prime now and Netflix. And I think Netflix is coming, excuse me, on iTunes. But now more and more people have seen it. And I think this is the first time I've really referenced it on this show, but I think it's perfectly fitting because your partner Hirochi actually plays a pretty prominent role in that documentary. What was it like to be, you know, while you weren't featured on it specifically, what was it like to have your partner, you know, and by proxy be featured on such a really well done documentary about the premium cigar industry?
Oh no, it's been great, and it's kind of been there's been a number of things, including that documentary as well as the one on Amazon Prime called The Prince of Smoke that's about Hirochi kind of himself, mm-hmm. a little 24-minute short film that was done by the guys that did Hero Dreams of Sushi and Chef's Table and a bunch of really well-received documentaries in the Netflix world. This one ended up going to Amazon and won a bunch of awards as well. So there was that one first, at least in terms of launch. I'm not sure recording-wise which ones were done first, but that one got to market a little faster than Jesse's Hand-Rolled. But the Hand-Rolled thing, man, you don't know this story, so you're going to get to hear it. It's pretty damn funny. So the day before IPCPR launched last year in 2018, I get all these text messages. I couldn't go to the premiere because I was setting up my own booth and it was just a pain in the ass. I waited too long to do some stuff. And so I was sweating at the end. And so we're getting that done. And I start getting these text messages about like how hilarious Hirochi was. And I'm like, what are these people talking about? So I end up getting, I think I got Mikey, the cigar hustler, on the phone and was like, what are you talking about? Because he was one of the ones that texted me. And he's like, Hirochi was hilarious. Like, everybody was laughing at all his lines. You know, I guess he did have a couple of funny lines. One of them is the quote of his grandfather. And I'll let everybody watch that because I'll bastardize the quote, first of all. And Hirochi delivers it really well. So anyway, so the next morning at the show, Hirochi flew in that night and came into the show the next morning. And I was like, bro, what the hell? And he's like, what's wrong? And I said, the movie, the Hand-Rolled movie. I got no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, the movie that premiered, you know, a couple of gringos came down and interviewed you. He's like, Spencer, many gringos come down to interview me. I'm like, you cocky bastard. Like, they got like a film crew, the whole bit. He had no idea. but he just, you know, I guess it happens to him fairly often. First trip I went down there was a bus of like 50 to 70 Polacks that showed up, you know, drove all the way down in a bus from Havana to Pernado Rio to see the Robina farm. Again, they've been growing tobacco there since 1845. It's one of, it's like the Mecca when it comes to cigar tobacco in the world. I mean, that's one of the trips that you need to make. And we actually help facilitate some of that now. We do trips with retailers and bring them down to the farm, in addition to some other stuff, some other learning kind of related stuff in Cuba. So.
That's really great. So the question I wanted to ask you, Spencer, because he actually says in the documentary that, you know, while he obviously is working with other tobaccos with you and everything, he still feels that Cubans are the very best. They're the pinnacle. Since you personally are unable to provide that tobacco to him for the American market, does it frustrate either one of you? Or is, you know, he's comfortable outside of that element as well?
No, I think it definitely frustrates us. And I would like to kind of expand upon his quote in that he doesn't feel like Cuban cigars are better than domestic cigars, be it Nicaragua or Dominican or Honduran. He feels like the cigars that he makes on his farm himself with his own tobacco that he's processed himself, that he's aged himself, are better than anything else in the market. And he might be right. I mean, they are incredible. I mean, if you get an opportunity to smoke a Robina farm rolled cigar, they're a special cigar. Now, I'd get tired of them. I'm a consumer that likes to smoke a number of different things and likes to change it up. And sometimes I'm smoking Connecticut and sometimes I'm smoking nothing but balls to the wall, full bodied. It just kind of depends. Cause I'll get bored with something. But if you smoke his farm rolled stuff that he's handled everything on, and you're talking about the stuff he's given out now to friends and family is, I think it's from the 2012 crop. So everything's really well aged, and the tobacco can be very special there. It's just that particular, the processes and everything that they use internally with Habanos it's shit. I mean, it's shit. They're not very good at what they do. And it's because the demand is there and they're going to sell that tobacco and those cigars, whether they're good or not. And not to say you can't find a good Cuban cigar here and there that are, you know, big brand names. Or you know, even the other stuff that's not quite as well known, you can run into good Cuban cigars. But it's just, you know, to name drop, and who better to name drop than Hanky Kellner? Hanky told me when I was with him at Tabacaria or whatever their spot in the DR is called, the hardest thing to do is to have consistency. It's the most important thing and the hardest thing. And that's one thing that they do a really shitty job of in Cuba. So, and Hirochi doesn't, you know, he gets to control all that with his own cigar. So, but when he says that Cuba is better, it has to do with what he does on the farm, where he controls everything. He controls it all.
Yeah, he actually does go on to say that he does the best there at his farm specifically and everything. So he does kind of qualify it later. I was interested to know, like, you know, because he feels so strongly about the subject, if it you know,
one day I'm gonna bring you something very special. I'm gonna bring you something that is and I'm maybe pretty soon here. I should have a few wheels of them of a project that we've done with his tobacco, our tobacco. It's special, man. It's really, really special. I think that's the most exciting thing about any potential of the embargo ending is just the blends that we'll be able to put together rather than, you know, being able to have access to Cuban cigars. I mean, anybody that wants a Cuban cigar right now can get online and find it in 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
So the exciting part is the blends that come out of it.
That's the part that excites me. And that was something that he actually was kind of chomping at the bit. You could kind of see in the documentary, 100%. He was like, that's what he was kind of gearing up for.
When you smoke what he's blended with some of our tobacco from Nicaragua, some Peruvian tobacco and some Cuban tobacco, it's a game changer. It's just really, really interesting. Hits every part of your palate and something. I just love smoking stuff that doesn't remind me of anything else.
That's awesome.
First Stoked. Time and you're like, wow, this is totally different than anything I've ever smoked. You know, that's how that is.
I'm totally stoked for that. That's awesome. So, Spencer, I want to get to the kind of the most obvious question. So, like we kind of opened up the show with, we said that a lot has actually changed since the last time that you sat down with us. We sat down and we actually talked before last year's IPCPR trade show. And so it's good to have you back on, but a lot has changed, but not much has changed. You and Hiroshi are still putting together some fantastic products, bringing new products like the Illegal to market this year. But you guys are still working together in tandem. But one thing that obviously changed was the name of the company. It's no longer White Hat Cigars. It is La Familia Robina. So just elephant in the room. Why the name change, Spencer? What's going on with that?
I just think, you know, you make mistakes as you go, and sometimes you figure those mistakes out a little bit late, and that's kind of what that was. We how dumb of me to not leverage the Robina name. You know, I mean, from having a cigar in the market, which wasn't my choosing in terms of the name, H period, R period. I mean, in America, that's associated with human resources, which makes nobody excited. And then to have White Hat as the, and I originally named it White Hat Distribution. It was just a mess. So it took me a while. I'm pretty stubborn. It took me a while to really just, you know, I got kicked in the ass by a friend of mine. And he was just like, why are you not using the name Robina? Shut up. And so eventually I was just like, yeah, we got to figure this out. So we started developing some new branding and stuff like that. And we're not done yet, but, the first step was rebranding kind of the umbrella company. And then as you'll see, or as you probably already seen via social media, some of the stuff that's leaked out about Illegal, the La Familia Robina logos are prominent on all those boxes and in that packaging. And then we just launched two exclusives at Fox Cigars in Arizona that both have a La Familia Robina primary band on them and La Familia Robina logos prominently displayed on the box packaging. So we're getting more, and we're going to start leveraging that name more and more. And it, you know, in the States, we've got a lot of educating to do with the average, you know, kind of consumer as to who the Robinas are and why that name is so important and why that name is the preeminent name in the history of tobacco. Internationally, I don't have to do a whole hell of a lot of work. Todd Vance, my national sales manager, who I hired since we last talked, and a good friend of yours and a good friend of mine, obviously, he convinced me to go to Europe for the first time. So we went to the Dortmund trade show. That was my first time there. And man, incredible response, Bear. Incredible response.
That's terrific.
We had people fighting over distribution. It was really, really good to see how well regarded that name is, how known that family is from all their travels, whether it was Alejandro or Carlito, his son, which is Hirochi's dad, or Hirochi himself, that has traveled over there, you know, 100 times to Europe and over 100 times to Asia. And you know, whether it was in, as you know, just kind of helping Alejandro in his elder years, and also as an ambassador for Habanos himself. And so he's super well known, super well regarded over there, and everybody knows the family and knows the story and knows, you know, how that family is one of the most important, if not the most important family in the history of cigar tobacco.
That's really fantastic that Europe kind of opened up a whole new playground for you guys, and in terms of the market and everything. And you would figure that the Robina name would be something that got the European market pretty excited. And so this is an entirely different aspect of that name and everything. And yeah, I could see why they would be totally excited about it. So how many countries do you think you'll be expanding to in the next couple of years?
We're going to make some really exciting announcements here shortly. We're trying to finalize a couple of things, but we'll be all over most of Europe. That's really where we're starting, and then some into the Middle East. We got an agreement to do Lebanon and Cyprus and a couple of other places over there. I need to rename Mud's role. He's VP of sales, but he should be international sales director or something, or galactic sales director.
Galactic.
Convincing us to go over there was he's a lot smarter than he looks.
Oh, kudos to Todd. You know, him and Erica were two people you hired almost pretty much instantaneously after they left their previous company. You know, you talked about what Todd's already brought to the company, but what made you acquire their services, and what else? Has there been anything else that's kind of transpired since you've brought them on board? I mean, that's a pretty big thing. I'm not looking to necessarily top that, but anything else?
No, nothing really else. I mean, getting both, I was a fan of, from afar of Erica. I've worked with Todd previously when I was national sales manager at AJ. I hired Todd to replace me in Texas, and Todd and I have been friends since, you know, we both got in the industry at almost the exact same time. And we happened to be, at the time, AJ Fernandez was making cigars for the company that Todd was at Esteban Carreras. So we've been, in the business and somewhat connected since early on. And then obviously both of us being from Texas. And so he's always been a close friend. So I was super happy and excited to add him. I know what his skill set is and the relationships he's built. And he's just an incredible dude. And then Erica, I've been friends with her for a few years. Been a huge fan of hers since I figured out what she did and how well she helped build Cornelius and Anthony from a social media standpoint. How well she understood and how much she understood about the Robinas and about our brand from early on. And she was a fan of our cigars. And that was, I didn't ever want to like outsource the social media. I understand how important social media is. Fact of the matter is I'm a crotchety old fucking dude and I'm not very good at social media. I just don't do it. I try to, so I do it some, but I really, from a consistency standpoint, I needed somebody that understood our brand, that loved what we did, to help, engage with, consumers and retailers and whomever. And man, she's been incredible for us. We've been able to see effect to the bottom line pretty darn quick, and in terms of just interest from consumers and engagement with consumers and retailers, I'll say it's up tenfold, and that's probably a pretty bad underestimation of how effective she's been for us from a branding standpoint in that world.
So was that something that you just, because of your nature, and you said you just weren't necessarily into it, that you kind of overlooked previously, or it just wasn't a priority, or, kind of a combination of both of those things before she was able to come on board?
It's a combination, definitely. It's just, I was not to discount the other people involved in what we do, whether it's, the factory and what they do and Hirochi and what he does. But operationally, I was really like a one-man show for a long time. And so when you are spread that thin, you're traveling as basically a national sales manager. You're handling all the financials. You're handling, all the accounting, all the operational stuff in terms of, getting boxes made and being on the ground floor, doing that sort of, every aspect of this company I had my hands in. And I'm just not one of those cats that can be, posting some, having 30 different interactions online while I'm in the middle of doing all these other things. I don't have that that idiot savant quality that the Skip Martins of the world have, where me and him can be in a conversation for 3 hours, or watching the Punisher, the first 6 episodes of the Punisher, like back to back to back. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I get out of there and he's had like political arguments with 17 different people that are like threads, 30, comments deep. And he's 19 of those comments, really long winded bastard, but he's great at it. It's what he does. He's really, really good at it. And I envy him because it's something that no matter how hard I've tried, it's not something that I, let's be honest, I haven't tried that hard. It fucking sucks. I hate it.
Well, it's good to have someone like her that knows, can help you and awesome. The company engage and stuff. And what Todd's been able to do, bringing you guys to the international market so quickly.
Yeah. And he's much better at the social media stuff than I am too. He also is somebody that's pretty well engaged with social media.
And he resisted for so long. He resisted for so long. You were on Facebook.
Huh?
You were at least on Facebook. That's new to him.
Yeah. He's better at Instagram than he is Facebook, but nonetheless, he's pretty good at it. But she's been great for us, man. She's just a pleasure to work with. She's such a good person, and she's such a passionate person about cigars. You know, she's got her own video blog. What do we call video blogs? Do we just call them blogs or
vlogs? Yeah, vlogs.
I never liked that. That doesn't sound good. Vlog.
Well, does blog really sound that appetizing either? I mean, blog has always sounded.
Not really, but it seems better than vlog. But
yeah, whatever. But when people still call like internet media, when they refer to us as bloggers, and it's like, man, I host and co-host a podcast, man. I'm not a blogger.
Maybe that's it. It's podcast, though. That's what it is. It's podcast. It's better than vlog. Podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Videocast. Sounds even more technical.
Fancy.
Exactly. So, well, Spence, I can't thank you enough for joining me tonight. I do have one final question. It's our curveball segment. And, you know, as much as we've been pumping up Todd's ego tonight with all the amazing work that he's done for you and his time with La Familia Robina this year, he won't be winning this contest because he doesn't qualify. So the question, the contest, so to speak, or the question to you is, and you can't pick yourself. Here's the thing. So you can't pick yourself, and Todd doesn't qualify. But the question is, who is Spencer Drake's pick for the three best beards? And if you can't get up to three, that's fine. But the three best beards in the premium cigar industry.
Oh, I got to pick the three best beards?
The three best beards.
All right. It's going to be Ben Gardner from La Cultura in Kansas City, who I just did an event with. His beard's incredible. It's going to be Kyle from Puro in Arizona.
I thought you were going to say Kyle from
Gallus.
Yeah.
No, Kyle from Puro. I mean, these are next level beards, man. You got to understand when you're in that beard world, and I was formerly.
I was going to say, man, you've trimmed up kind of like me. You put it's Texas, man. It's the Texas summer. We have to tame it back a little bit.
I just like to mix it up. I can only go so long with one particular look. And when you're bald like I am and always have a baseball cap, which you kind of understand a little bit of that.
Yep.
We got to play with our beards and cut them and grow them. And, you know, that's all we got. And I used to dye mine and,
no, man, I just I got a little salt and pepper. That's my.
So number three, Sebastian from Cavalier, beautiful, gorgeous.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and he puts it in a ponytail sometimes, which is very French, And he'll claim he's not French and say he's Swiss, but we all know that's bullshit. He's French, straight up French.
It's like, you know, when Jean-Michel Lasaga says that he's Belgian, he's French too. They're all French, you know. French.
My wife loves talking to him. She really enjoyed him. He's a character, and she's Belgian as well. So they hit it off.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, man. Spence, I really thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a long week for those who know. I spent some time in the hospital. That was unfortunate, but it was short lived, thank God. And it was just good to sit down and do something normal. And so talking to you,
I'm glad to hear you're doing better.
Of course, talking to you about baseball and cigars, man. Really did the trick. So I'm on the road to recovery really great. So I really appreciate your time tonight, especially when you got your awesome family behind you, just hanging out and you made some time for me. I can't thank you enough. It means a lot to me. So thank you so much.
No, no problem. Thanks again for having me. And, I'll be sending out a bunch of stuff on the social media in the next couple of days. It'll probably go through Erica. But I'll be down at the factory tomorrow. I'm flying down there with a guy named Daniel Falcone, who's got a shop up in Lancaster, PA. Working on some stuff with him, but you'll get a lot of, for anybody interested about the new Illegal project, you'll at least be able to see it and see me smoking it and talking about it and rubbing it in that you don't have it yet. It's supposed to be on the market already, but we've been aging a little bit longer. It should be out in the next couple of weeks, though. We should have it to the States and launched here shortly. So I hope everybody goes out and gives it a try and gives us some feedback via social media. It's a good way to interact with us and let us know what you think.
1st of November, fair assessment?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, sounds good.
Looking at about it. Maybe a little bit earlier than that. Maybe 1st of November. We'll see. We're going to go down and smoke a whole lot of it and make sure we're super, super excited to bring it out. So it'll be ready when it's ready.
Can't rush it. Absolutely. Well, Spencer, thank you so much for tonight. For everyone out there who joined us, really, really appreciate everyone's evening as well. And for those of you guys who are catching us later on podcasts, where you're listening to podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts, you're listening to us exclusively because of Cornelius and Anthony Premium Cigars. And of course, tonight's show was sponsored by Drew Estate. So we thank you so much for joining us. This was Take 92. Can't believe I've done 92 of these. We are on the road to 100. It's been great. And I've had such terrific guests like my guest tonight, Spencer Drake, this was his second trip to LL Supermar Takes. And we greatly appreciate his time and everything that he does with La Familia Robina and more within the cigar industry. So check out his cigars. Be on the lookout for his newest project and smoke it, because it's going to be good, because it's going to be worth the wait. I know it. So thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate all your likes, shares, and comments. Be sure to download, subscribe, and review. As always, I'm Bear Duplessis. This is El Oso Fumar Takes Take 92 in the books. We'll see you next time.